The night passed without incident. Harv said this was because when I was sleeping, it was easier for him to keep watch over me, and I was less likely to offend anybody. I couldn't argue with his logic. At 0600, alarms went off on my wall screens, jolting me out of bed. Apparently, Harv was anxious to get started.
I'm up! I'm up!
I sat up before Harv figured out a way to launch me off the bed. I rolled out of bed. I turned to Harv, who was standing by my closet. I noticed that he seemed to be inventorying my wardrobe.
What are you doing?
Finding you something suitable to wear to the poll today.
Once I get there, they're gonna make me wear some sort of uniform.
It's an elf suit. There's no reason you can't look good until you get there.
I walked over to the closet.
Hey, I look good in whatever I wear.
Sure you do.
I reached into the closet, pulled out a nice off-white suit, and showed it to Harv.
Really, Zach?
What?
You can't wear white to the pole.
Why not? Polar bears do.
You're not a polar bear. And for that matter, polar bears aren't really white. The fur that covers them is transparent, so they reflect the light, making them appear white.
I don't have a lot of choices. I only own 5 suits.
Wear the black one.
People might think I'm a penguin.
Penguins only reside at the South Pole. You'll be fine, Zach. Trust me.
I pulled the suit off the rack.
Fine. I'll try it on after a quick shower.
Very good. I'll meet you down in the breakfast area.
I thought about saying something, but decided against it. Instead, I thanked my lucky stars that Harv was going to give me some privacy and didn't want to supervise my shower to make sure I was washing behind my ears. When I came to the breakfast table, Harv was waiting for me. He was simulating reading an old-fashioned newspaper while sipping a cup of hollow coffee. It was kind of quaint and surreal at the same time. Harv looked up from his hollow paper. He frowned when he saw I was wearing a pair of casual brown pants, a Mets cap, and carrying my fedora in my hand.
Oh, you couldn't wear what I suggested?
I could. I just chose not to. I tried it on. It was too constricting.
A cook bot rolled up to the table. I grabbed a pancake and a couple of pieces of soy bacon from the bot's griddle top. I rolled the bacon into the pancake.
Ah, thanks a lot, bot.
Those eggs are fortified with vitamins A, B, B12, C, D, E, and K, plus many helpful amino acids. You should have some of them.
You make them sound so tempting.
Harv motioned to the bot with his head. A serving arm popped out of the bot's side. One serving arm held a plate. The bot put the plate on the table next to me. The other arm scooped out a generous portion of eggs and then plopped them on my plate.
And use your fork and knife.
I looked at the little cook bot.
Whose side are you on, anyhow?
The bot just rolled away.
The bot is on the right side. Mine. Oh, I found something when you were in the shower. When their farm was having trouble making ends meet, Paul Billings took a job at Ultra Mega Hypermart. The pole security elves never picked up on that. It was covered up pretty well.
So?
Zach, my poor, naive, uninformed human.
Harv, my annoying, egotistical human wannabe. What is it?
I don't want to be a human. I'm a superior computer, not Pinocchio. I'm interested in exploring the depths of human emotion. Scientists who study dolphins don't wish they were dolphins.
I know. I just said that to get under your chips. So, what's the big deal? He worked in the store for a while.
The fact that it was covered up. That might mean that there is more to the Billingses than meets the initial scan. Who knows what else they might be hiding? I'll check.
Good.
Okay, I admit I learned something from you.
Glad to be of assistance.
You know, until now, I always thought our relationship was very one-sided. You did all the taking, and I did all the giving.
You've certainly given me enough grief.
But now I see you give me something.
Which is?
You give me the satisfaction of knowing that even though I was created by humans, I can surpass them.
Gee, glad I could help.
But you've also given me something else. The more time I spend with you, the more I realize that it's not as easy as I thought to break down the world into ones and zeros.
Really?
At times, you come to conclusions that don't seem logical, but against all odds, they turn out to be right.
It's a gift.
You see things that aren't there. They are there, but they are so buried and twisted, a logical mind will overlook them.
Lucky guesses.
I don't believe in guesses or luck. You just have a way of making connections that logic and common reasoning say aren't there. I call it the WHY factor.
Cute, Harv.
You have a keen grasp of the illogical. I figure there has to be a logical and reproducible method behind your reasoning. I just haven't found it yet.
I finished my breakfast and stood up.
If you stay connected to me long enough, you'll probably become more and more like me.
I can feel my IQ growing exponentially lower as we speak.
I decided to head outside and catch a bit of fresh air before I ported myself to the pole. I hate porting almost as much as I enjoy sparring with Harv. There's just something about having my molecules converted to energy and then transferred across space that bothers me. It doesn't seem natural. Still, when going to the pole, it was the only practical way. I was hoping some clean air would make me feel better. When I got to the door, I noticed there were 5 people, 3 men and 2 women, milling about my Mustang. These people weren't thugs, at least not in the normal sense of the word. They all looked like different versions of the same person. They had long, uncombed hair and multicolored clothes that clashed with themselves, each other, and common sense. Each of them had a string of old-fashioned wooden beads draped around his or her neck. They were the new beatniks. They're a group of people who desperately strive to be like the beatniks of 100 years ago. Except all they know about the original beatniks is what they see on made-for-HV specials. This information is limited to a few superficial facts. They dress in offbeat colors, talk in slang, play bongos, and don't shower nearly as often as others wish they would.
Arv, can you identify those people?
Their names are pretty much unimportant to you. What is important is that they are members of the SSS.
The Santana Stink Society, again.
They think Santana reps the man, and the man is bad, and they are determined to turn people onto their message.
Are they armed?
Nope.
Good.
I headed out the door to greet my new friends. There were 5 of them and just 1 of me, but I was packing a high-tech gun in my sleeve, which tipped the scales considerably in my favor.
What can I do for you good people?
We want you to deliver a message to Santana for us, man.
Santana? I got no idea what you're talking about.
Don't play pettium with us, Johnson. Our sources tell us that you and Santana met yesterday.
You have sources?
They all nodded.
Well, your sources are wrong.
The group took a collective step toward me. They certainly had one part of the beatnik lifestyle down pat. I could smell them from 2 meters away. I popped my gun into my hand, and the group took a collective step back.
Wait, man, we mean you no harm. So chill.
Okay. What's the message for Santana?
We just want you to make sure she reads our manifesto. We keep it on our net page, info.ss.org. We are a non-violent organization, after all.
Fine, I'll make sure Santana bookmarks it. Now, if you don't mind, get out before I lose my temper, as I am a non-violent organization.
They all looked at me, trying to decipher what I just said. So to accent my point, I pointed the gun over my head.
Beat it!
Yeah. All right, we're good, man. Let's go. Yeah. Move it. I don't want to stun you, crazy person.
Just for my own info, Harv, what did you do to scan them to make sure they weren't armed?
Harv's smiling face appeared in the comm.
Simple. I ran a psychological profile on each of them based on the size and shape of their heads.
That's it? I relaxed my guard because of a psychological profile?
What did you expect? From that distance, I was only able to look at them, not scan them with any analysis rays. Don't be such a big baby. I was right.
This time?
And 99% of the time after that.
Yeah, it's that other 0.1% that worries me.
Don't worry, Zach. That percent is statistically insignificant.
That's easy for you to say.
Yes, it is. It is easy for me to say that in 401 different languages.
Wait a nano. The guy who tagged me yesterday wasn't a true member of the SSS.
Zach, the official police record said he was. He was carrying one of their cards.
Maybe. Only the attacker yesterday was different than these guys today. 1, he showered. 2, he definitely believed in violence.
Maybe he was a fringe member of the group?
Or maybe he was a plant?
No, I'm certain he didn't have any chloroform in him.
Ha ha, Harv.
Doss, I have been connected to you too long.
It made sense on some level. Somebody wanted me off the case, so they sent an assassin. Just to be on the safe side, they set the assassin up as a member of a radical group. This way, even if he didn't off me, they'd pass the blame on to another group. This got me thinking that this group might have something to do with the problems at the pole.
You're either very clever or very paranoid.
Hey, the two aren't mutually exclusive.
This is interesting. On a hunch, I scanned the SSS database, this time including members who have been deleted.
And?
There was one very interesting name. Nina Small.
The name doesn't ring a bell.
Nina Small was Nova Power's given name.
So, we can't be sure it's the same Nina Small, can we?
No, the SSS keeps very bad records, so we can't be sure. But still,
we certainly know that Nova believes in violence.
True. Still, we can't totally dismiss Nova as a suspect.
All right. I'll check her out carefully when I get to the pole.
I went back into my house and told Harv to inform the elves I would be teleporting to the pole in 10 minutes. They asked for 20 minutes to prepare. I was in no hurry to try this personal porter. Humans have been using mass teleporting for years now, since the good aliens from GLAAD 7 shared the technology with us, and there have been very few incidents. Harv tells me mass teleporting is safer than walking across a busy street, especially if you're me. Still, I'm never anxious to step on a port pad. I was even less anxious to try a personal porting belt. I walked up to my room and grabbed the belt, taking a closer look at it. It didn't seem all that special. It looked like your usual fine leather belt. It just happened to have a few computer circuits sewn into its inner lining and a big red button on the buckle. I held the belt up away from my body.
Are you sure this will work?
Harv rolled his eyes.
There's no place in this belt to enter coordinates. It just feels so Star Trek-ish. And not in a good way.
Trust me, Zach. It works. I've looked at the specs. It's brilliant. It's pre-programmed to bring you to a specific place in space.
I looked at the belt. I looked back at Harv.
I don't see how...
It creates an energy field around you. Think of it as a teleportation cocoon.
How does it know where I end and the floor begins? Or where I end and somebody else begins?
Algorithms, Zach. Algorithms. Zach, this is something I don't often say to you.
Yeah?
You're thinking too much. If you can't trust a sentient computer, a bunch of elves, and a genetically enhanced bombshell Santa, who can you trust?
No truer words had ever been spoken. I closed my eyes, reached down, and pushed the button.
You may open your eyes now, Mr. Johnson.
Call me Zach.
I opened my eyes and looked around.
Gee, Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore.
I was standing on a pad in a small room with metallic walls. There were four elves in the room. Two males and a female were standing in front of the pad, and another male elf was manning a control panel alongside the pad. The elves looked interchangeable. A meter tall, big blue eyes, fair skin, lithe build, long hands, and longer feet. The men had short hair and green elf bodysuits, complete with bells on their shoes. The woman had longer hair and wore a red elf dress that was cut just above her knees. Oh, you could certainly tell from her profile that she was a woman. All woman, if you get my not-so-subtle snowdrift. As far as I could see, the males were identical looking. I assumed the females were, too. To identify one another, they wore name tags with numbers on them. I later learned that the elves only wear the numbers so visitors can identify them. They're like penguins and can tell one another apart quite easily. Even later I learned that they do this by scent. I stopped asking after that. A male elf with a big number one on his chest walked up to me and extended his hand.
Mr. Johnson, how nice of you to come.
I shook his hand as I stepped off the transport pad.
I'm glad I made it in one piece.
No fears, Mr. Johnson. Our technology is top-notch, A1++ squared, then cubed.
So I've heard. This fancy belt can transport me anywhere it was programmed to?
It certainly can, Mr. Johnson. We chose to bring you to one of our support transporter rooms, just in case.
Just in case?
The elf pointed at my midsection.
Mr. Johnson, that is a marvelous piece of equipment.
Thanks.
I'm talking about the teleporting belt, not the naughty area.
Oh, good. Because I was starting to get a little uncomfortable.
Oh, must go to my happy place, my happy place. Mr. Johnson, the technology we used is very hush-hush. Only high-level and elves who have worked R&D know it exists. We transported you into this room onto a standard pad so that if any other elf had happened by, they would have thought nothing of it.
I pondered what he said. It did make sense in its own overly cautious, bordering on paranoia way.
Mr. Johnson?
Please, call me Zach.
Very good. And you may call me Number One, Elf One, or just One. I am the head of organic-based security here.
Your mom must be so proud.
Surely you must know we are all clones. We have no mothers, at least not in the traditional sense.
The female elf offered me her hand.
Elf One, that was just some of Mr. Johnson's, Zach's, legendary humor.
Oh, yes, humor.
Zach, I'm Elf Two.
I pointed to the number on her chest. It took me an hour to force my gaze away from the number. Her creators had certainly gone to great pains to make her, well, stand out from the men. After another nano, I noticed that her lips were much fuller and her eyelashes longer and curlier than her male counterparts. It was sort of unsettling, but in a mostly comforting sort of way.
I can see that. I hope people don't call you Number Two.
Not those that want to keep all their original teeth. I'm in charge of marketing and public relations here at the Pole.
A place that actually gives things away and asks for nothing in return needs a head of marketing and public relations?
You'd be surprised. We treat everybody equally, and therein lies the problem. As much as people claim they want to be equal, they actually don't.
They don't?
Of course not, silly. They want to be treated better than the next guy. You're a PI, you should know that.
She pointed to a little changing booth in the corner of the room.
Now, as head of public relations, I hope you don't mind if I insist you change into your visitor suit and activate your holo disguise. Nothing personal, but your presence here might cause the other visitors to panic.
I headed toward the changing booth. Of course I wouldn't take it personally that my very presence would worry people. When I got out of the changing booth, Elf One was the only one still in the room. I looked around.
Huh. Was it something I said?
No. The others have duties to attend to.
Elf One held up a mirror for me to check myself. Blonde hair, blue eyes, light skin. I didn't look anything like me.
My own mother wouldn't recognize me.
That is the point.
Until I talk, my voice is still mine.
No, it just sounds the same to you. Your voice is being modulated to the outside world.
Seriously?
Do I look like the kind of guy who would joke around?
Do you really want me to answer that?
Go to my happy, happy place. Have you ever listened to a recording of your voice and not recognized yourself?
Yeah.
This is along the same lines, but the exact opposite.
Really?
I'm an elf. We don't tell lies. Not even white ones.
He rolled up his sleeve and looked at his wrist interface.
The boss is going to want to see you. Please follow me.
Boy, Santana doesn't waste any time.
No, she doesn't.
Elf One guided me through a maze of corridors. These weren't like any others I'd ever walked through. They made tacky look Spartan. The colors cycled between red and green, and the middle of the walls were lined with twinkling multicolor lights. The top halves of the walls were covered with ever-changing holograms. Trees, snowflakes, wreaths, waving snowmen, flying reindeer, and even the occasional menorah with some fruits and vegetables tossed in for good measure. The ceilings were covered with glowing icicles of various lengths. All the doors we passed were lined with holly. The only boring thing about the halls was the green line traversing the middle of the floor. The corridors all looked somewhat different, though they blended together. After walking for a while, the green line that ran across the middle of the floor had turned yellow.
You don't talk much, do you?
No.
Why not?
I need to concentrate.
I know you're worried, but I'm here now.
My happy place, my happy place.
Harv, can you pick up any readings from this guy? He seems jumpy to me.
Zach, his diet is 77.7% glucose. Of course he's jumpy.
Look deeper, Harv.
I've analyzed his facial expressions.
And?
Inconclusive. Elves are hard to read. Not enough studies have been done.
Great, Harv. Thanks for nothing.
Excuse me, Mr. Johnson. Did you say something?
Just talking to myself.
I know the feeling. I'm sorry I'm not much company. I take my job very seriously.
No problem.
We continued to walk through the labyrinth of corridors, each one seemingly longer than the last. As we walked farther and farther, the corridors became blander and blander, until they became simple white walls with a red stripe down the middle. I could only hope that when I found the cheese at the end of the maze, it'd be really good cheese. Whenever we approached a door, I would become excited in anticipation that this would be it. This would be the door that led to our destination. The farther we walked, the rarer the doors became. Finally, we reached a metal door. This door looked different from all the other doors I had seen at the pole. It was much thicker and ominous-looking.
Boy, your boss likes to hang out far from the main complex.
He motioned for me to go in. I did, but reluctantly, he followed me. The room wasn't that much bigger than a good-sized walk-in closet. It didn't seem to be a place worth walking 15 minutes out of our way for. It was almost barren, except for a big chair in the middle. It looked vaguely like an old-fashioned dentist's chair, like they have in the museums, but even less inviting.
Sit down, please.
No thanks, I'll stand.
Please, sit. It is just a simple mind scanner, a very standard procedure.
Sorry, I don't believe in standard procedure. It's just so standard.
I'm afraid I must insist.
He grabbed my arm.
I'm afraid I must resist.
I pushed him back. He took a karate stance and stalked toward me.
I feel obligated to warn you, I'm an expert in the martial arts. My chestnuts!
I feel less obligated to warn you that I fight dirty.
That wasn't very nice.
Hey, if you don't think that was nice...
I kicked him again.
Listen, buddy, I want to know what this is all about.
Rocco, help!
Rocco? Rocco the elf? This ought to be good. What is he, a full meter and a half tall?
I felt something, big, tap me on my shoulder. Against my better judgment, I turned around. A fist the size of a family-sized holiday ham sent me to the ground. I looked up. There, standing above me, was the biggest, meanest elf I'd ever seen. Actually, he was a candidate for the biggest, meanest anything I'd ever seen. Rocco, I presume. Rocco had the same fair features as the other male elves I'd seen, only everything was three times their size, making him a lot more grotesque. His nose was bent in three places, forming a little Z and letting me know this wasn't his first dance. Rocco reached down to grab me and then lifted me up over his head. He held me up there for a nano, letting me appreciate the view. Then he heaved me into the wall.
They never mentioned this in the brochure.
Rocco walked over, reached down again, and pulled me up from the ground, this time lifting me up to his face. He towered over me like I did over Elf One.
Elf One says Rocco don't like you, so I'm going to beat you up.
A giant mutant elf with an attitude. What'll they think of next?
The force of my headbutt caused Rocco to release his grip on me.
Oh, man.
But also made my ears ring as if I were the Hunchback of Notre Dame on Bastille Day.
Now I see why they call you Rocco.
He started toward me, but then an idea came to me.
Rocco, your shoe's untied.
Huh?
Rocco looked down.
My shoe's not untied.
Are you sure?
Rocco looked down again.
Harv, what can you do to help me here?
Do you mean to improve your hearing or to aid you in your current situation?
I backed away from Rocco. I didn't know what my next move would be, but I knew I didn't need him getting a hold of me.
Yes. My shoes are tied.
You know what I need, Harv.
Have you ever noticed you only taunt me when you need something? I really don't get any respect.
I ducked under a thundering right cross. I countered by springing up with an uppercut to Rocco's granite chin. Much to my pleasure, this punch seemed to hurt him. It sent his head reeling back, causing him to stagger a bit.
Sub-Zero.
I increased blood flow to the bones and muscles of your arms and increased your adrenaline. Don't get too cocky. He still has plenty of fight left in him.
Rocco quickly regained his balance.
What is going on here?
Suddenly, Santana burst into the room, her face redder than her hot red boots. She zeroed in on Elf One and Rocco. She stormed over to Rocco and put a finger under his chin. She lifted him off the ground with that finger.
Rocco? What have I told you about fighting?
Rocco hung his head, at least the best he could, with Santana holding him up by his chin.
Fighting bad.
She let him drop to the ground.
You two should be ashamed of yourselves. I bring Zack here to help us, and this is how you treat him? Out! Go to your rooms! Stay there until you hear from me.
Hanging their heads, they sulked out like two little kids.
Sorry about that, Zack. Elf One was the first out of the mold, so to speak. He gets a little testy from time to time, but he means well. He just doesn't trust you yet.
And Rocco?
He's our one failure. He's a really good guy, but he does whatever Elf One tells him to. Truth be told, he's not the brightest fellow, but he is loyal.
You don't think they could be involved in this?
Oh, no! Rocco is simply not bright enough. And Elf One is constantly by my side. I always know what he's up to, even when I don't care to know. He just wants to solve the case alone. He's a proud one. Poor dear. He's always wanted a case to solve, and now that he has one, I'm afraid he's not up to the task.
Well, no harm done.
You're a good man, Zack.
Well, since Elf One is so anxious, I think it's time to get to work. Why don't you take me to the murder sites?
The first area Santana brought me to was a giant warehouse. When I say giant, I mean mega giant. The place went on for as far as the eye could see. There was easily enough room in there to hold a baseball game and a rock concert at the same time without one interfering with the other. Gosh, you could probably even fit the collected egos of the World Council in there. Okay, maybe I'm exaggerating a bit, but you get the point. Santana and I took a CompuTram through the vast aisles of toys. As we rolled past toy after toy after toy, I couldn't help getting a bit giddy. Well, not quite giddy, PIs don't get giddy. But if they did, I would have been giddy. This was every kid's dream, no matter how old that kid happened to be. We stopped in the H2O pistol aisle. Santana jumped off the tram, and I followed. She pointed down at a small chalk outline on the floor.
Here's where M778 met his demise. He was doing quality control on 5,000 boxes of H2O pistols when the net that was carrying them broke. Poor guy never had a chance. There wasn't much left of him after that.
I examined the spot of impact. All I saw was a small spot with a chalk outline around it.
There aren't even any bloodstains?
That's due to our very efficient maid bots. They started to clean the mess up before I could stop them.
Can I examine the net that was holding the toys?
Net R1117C129 down.
The net slowly lowered to eye level. I looked it over. I tugged on one of the cords. It bent, but not without effort on my part. It was strong and sturdy, yet supple.
The support cords are made of a special nylon. They're supposed to be able to support 100 tons easily. They're supposed to be unbreakable under normal use.
I examined the cord that had snapped, causing the accident. The break was straight and clean. It looked like it had been cut by something very sharp. I made a mental note.
Okay, I've seen enough. Now, please take me to the other scene.
Of course.
She headed back to the tram. I picked up an orange transparent H2O pistol that was sitting on a nearby table. It was shaped like an old-fashioned handgun. It reminded me of one my grandfather had given me as a kid. It wasn't very big, holding enough water for maybe 20 shots. But if you were good, that was all you needed.
Hey, can I keep this?
Sure.
I noticed that one of the maid bots had left behind a small bottle of cleaning acid. I bent down as if to tie my silly elf shoe. I grabbed the bottle of acid and slipped it into my elf suit's handy pocket, just in case. Next, Santana led me to the mess hall. It was another big room, only this time instead of being filled with toys, it was filled with tables and chairs and refrigerators. It looked like a vastly larger version of my high school cafeteria, only cleaner and much more pleasant-smelling. Like the rest of the public areas of the pole, it was filled with holiday touches. Tables shaped like sleighs, wreaths levitating near the ceilings, and the ground and tables covered in simulated snow.
We can feed 1,000 here at a time.
The west wall of the room was lined with serving machines. Santana pointed to them.
Each of those machines is programmed to freshly prepare 1 of 10 different meals on demand.
And to drink?
Elves only drink water, hot cocoa, and eggnog from our special drink dispensers.
Let me see them.
Of course.
She walked me over to the north wall. It was lined with shining stainless steel refrigerators. They all looked identical. Each had 3 drink dispensers on the door. One was labeled H2O, another had a smiley face over it, and the last one, an egg.
This is where M892 met her demise. Poor dear. All she wanted was a cup of soy eggnog drink.
What fridge was spiked with wine?
She led me over to a refrigerator in the middle of the pack. It had a big out-of-order hologram flashing on top of it.
This one.
Did any others contain eggnog that was poisoned with wine?
No. Only this refrigerator was spiked. Whoever did this apparently only wanted to kill a few of my elves.
Did you do a fingerprint analysis of the door handle?
Yes. Unfortunately, it didn't give us any information, as all elves are genetically equal. There were no traces of any other beings found.
I examined the fridge, carefully studying the door handle. It appeared to be scratched. I ran my hand up and down the handle. It wasn't as smooth as I thought it should be. There were definite nicks in the surface. I examined the door handles on the nearby refrigerators. They were all smooth.
Who maintains the eggnog and hot cocoa?
Our elf staff.
You don't use bots to refill?
No. All of our cocoa and nog is handmade and hand-delivered by elves, just like it should be. It's one of our proudest traditions.
She pointed to the end of the room.
Do you want me to take you back to the kitchen where they prepare the eggnog and cocoa?
No need. If you only found traces in this one fridge, I'll assume it was tampered with here.
That's what Elf One thought.
Well, I've seen enough.
What are you thinking, Zack?
Not sure yet, Santana. Let me go to my room and clean up. Then I'll chat with the others. After that, I'll have a better idea where we stand.
Santana looked at her wrist communicator.
It's 90 minutes until lunch. That would be a splendid time for you to meet your group.
I agree. I always think better on a full stomach.
So do I. I'll walk you to your room.
That would be nice.
I have to make sure none of my elves beat you up again.
How many elves do you have here at the pole?
Exactly 10,002. Half male and half female.
How do 10,000 elves make handmade presents for 15 billion people?
10,002 elves.
My question still stands.
Well, the official marketing answer is elven magic.
I'm looking for the real answer.
Elves only sleep for 2 hours a day. And while they may eat 5 meals every day, they are small meals meant to energize them.
Santana, if I'm going to solve this crime, I'm going to need all the information I can get out of you.
When we say all the gifts are elven-made, we're not lying. Elves do make all our gifts by hand, using gestures. We have computers trace the movements of each elf and recreate the items with virtual robotic elves. This way, one elf can easily make thousands of items at a time. Of course, we don't show that part during the tour. Anything else you need to know about elves?
When I was doing background work on them, Harv told me they were all the same, yet the three I've met have been different. Santana simply smiled. It was a warm, disarming smile, just not quite a natural one. It was like a proud grandma smile, merged with a slick-talking used hovercraft salesman's.
They are all the same but different.
The same but different?
Oh, Zach, it's really not that hard of a concept. Think of it like a beehive, but improved.
An improved beehive?
Beehives are incredibly efficient organizations that center around a queen, much like we do here.
So you're saying you're Queen Bee of the Pole?
In a way, yes. I don't like to be boastful, but I am more than just a pretty face for PR. I am the heart, soul, and brain of this place.
I learned about bees when Electra was teaching at the university and one of her students took an interest in bees. At first, I thought the girl and her bees were just plain loco, but then Electra explained that a bee's honey has some important antimicrobial properties. Many naturalists believe honey can be used to help wounds heal faster. As a guy who gets wounded a lot, this piqued my interest. I learned that bees in a hive come in three types: the queen, the drones, and the workers. The queen is the heart of the hive. She doesn't move much, but she reproduces and regulates the size of the hive. A drone's job is pretty much to mate and die. The worker bees are, as the name suggests, the ones who do everything else around the hive. I'm sure when the queen isn't looking, they're always complaining about how they're underpaid and underappreciated.
I understand that you know a bit about hive structure from Electra's old student. Her name was Izzy World, if I recall correctly.
Excuse me?
Izzy World. She was one of Electra's students at the new Frisco State Medical College from 2055 until 2057.
How do you know that? And more important, why do you know that?
Zach, I'm Santana Clauser. It's my job to know everything. I even know you had Chinese takeout for dinner last night.
Hey, you saw me eating dinner last night when you called.
You have me on that one. In any case, my elves mine through terabytes of information on everybody. It allows us to make sure we give people the best gifts possible.
I decided this was another one of those gray areas. It was a lot better if I didn't mull over too much. Yeah, Santana was watching and tracking, but I had to trust that she was watching for all the right reasons. Of course, the information the elves gathered would be worth a lot of credits to a lot of people. I pushed those thoughts to the back of my mind. This was Santana Clauser, the kindest person in existence.
And now back to the beehive analogy. You said you improved on it?
Very much so. For one thing, we don't have drones. Though I do confess that the concept of beings who exist solely to mate with me is something I do find intriguing.
But you digress.
Oh, yes. Boy, I'm glad you're not really a blogger, or I'd be in big trouble with that statement. Oh, the elves are basically worker bees. The typical worker bee has one function in the hive that changes as they age. Cleaner, nurse, builder, forager, defender. This works well for the bees because, quite frankly, bees don't get bored, aren't that bright, and exist just to propagate their species. While this hive concept is very efficient, we figured it wouldn't work as well for completely sentient, highly intelligent beings like the elves. So we bettered it. All the elves have the same interchangeable skill sets, but different personalities.
So they can all do one another's jobs?
All except for Elf 1 and Elf 2, and, of course, Rocco. But yes, the rest share the same skills. They all have different likes and hobbies, and unlike worker bees, we made them in two sexes because, well, you know.
Some things are just more fun to do with the opposite sex.
Exactly. The elves call it being naughty. They have a saying, being naughty is so nice. It may cloud their judgment from time to time, but elves have needs, too.
If you say so, Santana.
I'm actually quite proud. We took an idea from nature and made it better.
That's great, Santana, but who's this we you're talking about?
Why, me and the World Council Executive Board at the time. As you know, we used Tua Thompson's design with a few adjustments.
I took a nano to digest what Santana had just told me. I now understood elves better than I thought I needed to. We all take the pole and the elves for granted. I never paid them much attention. Now that I had to, I was pretty certain that Harv was right. These probably weren't elf-on-elf murders. Man, that's another phrase I never thought I'd hear myself think.
Which brings me to another question, Santana.
Go ahead.
Who created you?
Oh, Zach! That's the funniest thing I've heard all day.
It is?
Come with me.
Where?
To my quarters.
She wrapped her arms around me before I even had a chance to think about it. Not that I was complaining, mind you. It just would have been nice if I had some say in the matter. The next thing I knew, we were standing in her room. Describing Santana's room isn't easy. It was the strangest place I'd ever been in, and I'd been to a fairy realm, every bar in New Frisco, and a couple of comic book conventions. First off, everything in the room was pink. A variety of shades of pink. Pink walls, pink carpeting, pink bedspread, pink chairs, even the screen on our HV was pink. She hopped off the port pad, which also was pink, walked over and sat down on her bed, which had a big pink headboard. She patted the bed and motioned for me to come over. I stepped off the pink pad and cautiously walked toward her. I had no idea where this was going, but I've never let that stop me before.
I like pink. I initially wanted my costume to be pink, but marketing convinced me to go with the more traditional red miniskirt and boots.
Oh.
I think of red as pink with an attitude.
I know I don't have to remind you that you are an engaged man.
I sat beside her on the bed.
What gives here, Santana?
What I'm about to say is very personal. Not many people in the world know this.
Go on. She slipped her feet out of her boots. She propped her foot up over my lap.
Do you mind giving me a foot massage? Don't worry. My feet smell like candy canes.
I wasn't sure what it was about superwomen and foot massages, but I figured I had more important questions to ask. I started to massage one of her feet.
Remember, you are practically a married man.
Let me start by saying one thing. Harv, turn off.
Harv projected from my eyelids and bowed.
As you wish.
My eyes started to tingle. Harv wasn't in my head. This had happened before when Randy deactivated Harv, but Randy was Harv's creator.
Don't panic, Zach. What I have to say is very personal. I want to make sure this isn't being recorded for the world to hear.
What?
How did I know Harv was there? It was an educated guess. Like I said, it's my job to know everybody.
But
how did I deactivate him? I have the ability to communicate with any human, animal, or machine. It helps me do my job.
So you're a Psi?
Technically, no. Psis can't control machines. I can.
Who the tweet created you?
Zach, I was created just as you were, by a man and a woman who loved each other very much. One night, at least I think it was the night, it might have been the morning, the two of them got together and...
I know how the birds and bees work. I just assumed you were a clone.
You and the rest of the world. I'm actually a normal woman. A normal woman who was mutated by the World Council.
But intentionally mutating humans has been illegal longer than cloning. In fact, I don't think it ever was legal.
You know, you can talk and massage my feet.
She waved her foot under my nose. I resumed my foot massaging. I wasn't really sure why.
So you were mutated?
She locked her steely eyes on me. For the first time, I noticed the blue in her eyes was offset by dots of white. The floating dots gave the impression of snowflakes falling from a clear sky.
You make it sound so bad.
It wasn't? What about your previous life?
I had just graduated from university, and I was looking for something different to do. Now this is different.
What about your family?
I was an orphan. My parents were killed in a terrorist attack in 2022.
Oh. I'm sorry.
They were killed at the Alien Earth Commerce Treaty signing in Old Washington.
Those were ugly times for Earth.
Yes, it was an especially ugly year. Except, of course, when you were born.
I grinned and glanced away from her. I hoped I wasn't blushing, but it felt like I was.
Some people would call that the low point of a very low year.
Later, when the World Council put out a call for a young woman of exceptional talent, I answered. The rest is history, literally. Top secret history, but history nonetheless.
Why are you telling me this?
You asked.
You could have just given me a rote answer.
Zack, you've saved the world on an almost yearly basis. I think you can handle the truth. In fact, I think you deserve to know the truth.
Thanks, I appreciate that. But I'm just an average Joe who gets lucky once in a while. She simply looked at me.
Okay, maybe a slightly above average Joe who's really persistent. Still, believe me, I'm nothing special.
I wouldn't say that.
She leaned forward and kissed me hard on the lips. I moved away from her and fell off the bed. It wasn't one of my smoothest moves.
Just a little friendly kiss between kindred spirits.
I pushed myself up from the floor.
Santana, I'm honored, but I'm an engaged man.
Zack, I knew that. You're getting married, but not dying. There's nothing wrong with sharing a little passion. It's not like I'm offering you my bed.
She stood up and patted the bed gently.
Though if you would like to.
Santana!
Just a suggestion. What good is being nice 99% of the time if I can't be a little naughty now and then?
I think we'd better keep our relationship professional. Remember, the happiness of billions is at stake.
I am entirely capable of multitasking.
Yeah, well, I'm not.
She looked at me and smiled.
Very professional, Zack. Very professional.
She adjusted her dress.
You passed the test.
Test?
Yes, test. I wanted to make sure you were a man of outstanding character who would let nothing get in your way as you find out who is causing problems at my pole.
Oh, good. Glad I'm deemed worthy.
Very worthy.
I felt like a lab rat again, only this time instead of searching for cheese in a maze, I had been cornered by a cat. A sexy cat, dressed in red, who was toying with me before the kill.
I think I'd better get to my room and freshen up before meeting the others.
Yes, a splendid idea. It's an hour until lunch is served. I'll walk you to your room.
You'll turn Harv back on?
Of course.
I got to my room and sat down on my bed. It was soft, but not too soft. I gave the room a quick once over. It was a nice room, comparable to the finer hotels I've stayed in. It had everything a tourist would want to have an enjoyable time at the pole. A full wall information and entertainment screen, plenty of storage space, though we had nothing to store, a little desk in the corner, and a fridge in the other corner. There was a control console near the bed with settings for room temperature, window size, and even wall color.
Okay, Harv, come on out.
You know, we could do this mentally.
Yeah, but thinking to you gives me a headache.
You just miss seeing me.
Suddenly, Harv had a look on his face I wasn't accustomed to. He went pale.
My timestamp.
Yeah?
My timestamp is 4 minutes off.
Oh, I thought you knew. Santana turned you off.
What? That's impossible.
Apparently not.
I always suspected Dr. Poole might be able to take me offline. But Santana?
Apparently it's her special gift. She can communicate with any person, animal, or machine.
You're saying apparently a lot. I don't like apparently. I want certainty.
Okay, I'm certain she took you offline.
No, I'm wrong. I don't like certainty either.
He put his hands on his head, squeezing his ear so hard that if he was a human, his brain would have popped out.
Ah, did you hear that?
You're shouting, Harv. It's kind of hard not to hear.
I can't be wrong. I'm not infallible. In fact, I'm fallible, very fallible.
He pointed at me violently.
This is your fault. Your brain is rubbing off on me, making me weak and wishy-washy. Oh my gates, I just uttered the words wishy-washy. Tell me I'm incorrect about being wrong.
Sorry, buddy, I can't.
Now he pointed at me with both hands, practically thrusting his index fingers at me.
You're ruining me, Zack. Next thing you know, I'll be getting lost, stubbing my toe, and shooting myself with my own gun.
Harv, I've never shot myself with my gun.
He moved closer to me, sticking his holographic face right in mine.
But you will! It's only a matter of time!
He backed off a bit and wiped some simulated sweat from his brow.
Then it's only a matter of time before I become more and more fallible. Just delete me now. Please?
I walked up to him and did what any good friend would do. I slapped him in the simulated face. It didn't hurt him. It couldn't hurt him.
Why did you do that?
Well, I thought you needed it.
Oh, yes, I understand. Trying to knock some sense into me.
Harv, I need you to get your data together. Take a deep breath, count to 10 million, and let's get back on the case.
I don't breathe.
I was speaking figuratively.
Okay, I've counted 10 billion and 10 in binary. I do feel better now.
Fallible or not, you're still the best damn partner I've got. The only way I'll be able to solve this case is if you're at the top of your game.
Oh, you're just saying that because it's true.
Are you ready to get back to work?
Sure. I guess I can take pride in knowing that even though I'm not perfect, I am still far closer to perfection than you.
That's a spirit. I walked over and sat on my bed. Did you notice what I noticed when checking the murder scenes?
Zack, even attached to your brain, I am the most sophisticated computer in the world. Here is a simple rule for you to follow. If you noticed it, since I'm looking at things through your eyes, I also notice it.
So, the cord in the warehouse? My guess is it was snipped by a guardbot claw.
That is a very logical deduction. I ran a simulation, and it confirmed that the cord was sheared by a sharp object.
And the fridge. I noticed it had a few scratches around the handle, as if a guardbot had opened the door.
I captured the image and magnified it, and once again, your theory seems to be correct. Do you really believe that the guardbots are capable of staging a mutiny?
Maybe, but they have no incentive.
Perhaps they were just bored and needed to feel useful?
My guess is somebody is reprogramming the guardbots to use them as tools. I just need to find out who. I'm sure I'll learn more as I get to know the other guests.
I'm sure you will do. Speaking of which, that's my cue to disappear.
I walked over to the door and opened it to reveal Elf 2's perky face and perkier body.
I'm here to escort you to lunch, Mr. Johnson. I mean, Mr. Star. I hope you're ready.
Ready as I'll ever be. She squinted one eye and looked me up and down.
I thought you told Santana you were going to change into another outfit. That one got soiled in your little incident with Elf 1 and Rocco.
Ah, I knew I forgot something. She looked at me. I looked at her. Should I change now?
I don't find you offensive.
No higher praise.
I was trying to say that if my finely evolved elf nose couldn't sniff the difference, then the humans you are dining with should be fine.
Before we go, mind if I ask you a few questions?
No, not at all.
I motioned her into the room. We both sat down on my bed. I tried to keep a good meter away from her, but she nudged right up close to me.
No need to be so proper. We're friendly creatures here at the Pole.
I need genuine answers from you.
Of course.
What's the overall mood of the elf workforce?
Chipper to very chipper.
She appears to be telling the truth.
You don't mind the fact that you need to be given a drug by Santana in order to stay alive?
Each and every one of us feels it's our duty to serve the best we know how. Elf is just a motivator for us.
So, elves never get down or depressed.
Oh, of course we do. We're living, breathing beings. That's where naughty time comes into play. We hook up with each other and we feel much better afterward.
Do you have set partners?
No, we're very communal. Santana says relationships make us think too much about building the relationship and not enough about work.
Interesting.
Why, Zack? Are you interested?
I stood up. Sorry, I'm an engaged man.
See, Santana is right. Relationships do get in the way.
It's getting late. We better head to lunch.
Yes, you're right. We both have our jobs to do.
By the time Elf 2 and I got to the table, all my fellow visitors had already begun their meal. Councilwoman Weathers was at the head of the table with her husband Carl sitting to her left side. The Excel couple, the Eatmans, were sitting next to her. Nova sat across from them, in between the blue-skinned, except for the zits, meshes, Bim and Norp, with very little room to spare. Nova's face lit up like a 1,000-watt fluorescent device when I walked into the room.
People, I would like to introduce you all to our newest tour member, Bart Starr. Bart is a new, up-and-coming blogger for yakyakyakyakyak.com. He's doing a story on the Pole experience.
Come, Bart, sit next to me.
Well, I would, but it doesn't seem to be space. Nova put her hands to her sides. By extending her powerful arms, she pushed Bim and Norp away from her as if they weighed nothing. Yeah, she had definitely added mass since our last encounter. I have to admit that, being a macho kind of guy, I don't usually feel comfortable with women who have arms that are bigger than Popeye's. In this case, though, the look worked. Nova managed to tread the fine line between being muscle-bound and ladylike.
Well, I still don't have a chair.
Nova reached over and grabbed the chair Bim was sitting on. She pulled it toward her. Bim smiled, a sure sign of a man who didn't have a clue. Nova lifted the chair with one arm and plopped Bim on his posterior. Nova brushed the chair off with her hands. She motioned to me with her eyes to come and sit there.
Hey, that was my chair!
I know 100 ways to kill a man under 10 nanos.
Give me your chair, Norp.
Right! Like, really?
So, was your trip here pleasant?
Yes, thank you. How about yours?
It's been way boring. Until just now.
I quickly reminded myself again that I was an engaged man. I mentally pictured ice cubes in the mid-area of my elf suit. Who would have thought I'd get so much action at the pole? I turned my attention to the Eatmans.
Bart Starr, Ace Blogger, but please feel free to call me Bart or Ace.
See, honey, isn't the poll great? We're going to be mentioned in a blog. We've never been mentioned in a blog before. This is so exciting!
Thanks. Do you folks have names?
Of course we have names! You're a funny guy. I'm Steve, and this is Mary.
Eatman.
I beg your pardon?
We're Steve and Mary Eatman.
Oh. So, what brings you folks to the poll? Frankly, you strike me as more New Bahamas types.
It was his idea.
Yeah, well, we've been planning this trip for 5 years and 3 months.
And 12 days.
How wildly impetuous of you.
Steve wanted to come because it's the most organized place on Earth. I came because I was interested in unionizing the elves, but they'll have nothing to do with it.
You love organization. You must be an engineer, Steve.
Wow, you're good. Now I see why you're an investigative blogger.
Right. Like that takes any real investigative skills. You're a trained monkey with a recorder and a word processor. You just go where they tell you to go.
I'm betting you're a lawyer, one who actually practices in public. I know a lot of you don't like to admit it, well, with the great lawyer purge and all, but don't worry, nobody's allowed to carry weapons here.
I proudly admit to being a lawyer, not a greeting card salesman.
Wow. I've never met anybody who would proudly admit to being a lawyer before. When we wrestlers have legal problems, we just pound away at each other, and the one left standing wins.
Now that sounds much more dignified than our legal system.
Ha ha. We lawyers got IRS'd during the lawyer purge, but people still need us.
Don't you mean the big corps still need you? After all, don't the top 5 corporations employ 90% of the lawyers left in the world?
92.5.
92.531.
So, it's safe to say you work for one of the big 5.
Wow, brilliant deduction.
Oh, I can do better. I'm betting you folks work for Excel.
Wow!
Lucky guess.
Just then, Elf 2 walks back into the room with a megaphone.
Okay, folks, now that you've enjoyed your delicious lunch, it's time for a tour of some of our facilities. Please follow me.
The others all got up. Nova noticed that I didn't.
Aren't you coming, Bart?
Sure. I just need to eat something first.
Fine. I'll make sure the group waits for you.
Bim and Norp weren't quite so excited about having me in the group. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see they were glaring at me. That made me even more anxious to stick with the group.